teaching something last week to just help us in the faith walk. So in the next 20 minutes, I'm just going to switch a little bit, okay? Become a little bit pragmatic. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So last week I talked about the walk of faith. What did I call it?
Living the life
of faith. And I said, we are introduced into this walk we call salvation through faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any person should boast. So we say, we are introduced into this living. We are introduced into this life by faith. Now, what is faith? What is faith? Faith, in its simplest ways, I could try to define it. Even if the Bible is not a dictionary, if I were to define faith in a simple way, faith is my positive response to the faithfulness of God. What is faith? Faith is my positive response to the faithfulness of God. Faith on my end is for me to rely on God that he will do or he does what he says he does. Period. My faith is as powerful as who it is in. Sometimes we focus faith on ourselves, but actually, faith is supposed to be exercised in another. Usually, another which is trustworthy. Usually, another which has demonstrated a track record that they can be relied on. And who better than our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father? So what in salvation, what does it do? In salvation, it says, I have come to die for your sin, to reconcile you to God. I have come so that you can have a vital relationship with my Father and with me. And then when I hear that and I respond and I say, yes, sir, I believe. Yes, sir, I take it. Yes, sir, I accept it. That is faith. So by doing that, I enter into what the Bible calls a household of faith. So initially, we are all dealt with the same measure of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. What does it say? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is near you, in your heart, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the message of the gospel is also called the word of faith. The preaching of the gospel is also called what? The word of faith. Mm-hmm. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see that? So, how did you encounter the gospel? Somebody came and preached to you. In some places, you were asked to put up your hand, right? Something like that, to respond. Sometimes there was an altar call, right? Then you came in front and they told you to say a prayer, right? But really, when the gospel is preached, when the message is preached, many times that faith happens in the heart. In your heart is where you respond and say, this God came as a man, sacrifice everything, so that I can have a relationship with him. Then I say, I want this. That is faith. And that is the beginning step of our walk in salvation. So when you come into that walk, you are now entered into the faith. So the scripture sometimes calls it the household of faith. A nyumba yaba kiza. So, everybody in the household of faith is a believer. You see, that's why sometimes we say, are you a believer? You say, I am a believer. And what do believers do? Believers believe. Simple, right? Believers do what? Believe. But, so, a person who is born again who is born into the faith does not have a faith problem. Do you see where it comes from? Because they have been born into a household of belief. They are believers. So what happens now? They start to live by faith. Paul writes and says, as you have received Jesus Christ, now walk in him. As you have received him, do what? Walk in him. You walk in what you have received. You don't walk to receive. Amen. As you have received him, walk in him. So, a believer walks in faith. Again, I'll say, what is faith? In that faith, I am relying, I am trusting that God will do, or God has done what he says he has done. Romans chapter 4. They give us an example of Abraham. Oh my. Are we there? Let me start from verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham, is the father of us all. Now, what does it mean? There's another word, grace. These are words we hear a lot, right? Grace and faith. So, it says, the promise is of faith that it might be by grace. Now, grace comes from a word which means to give. Now, the word give is supposed to mean what you offer freely. But because we are living in a society where people give things which are not free, I'm going to say freely give. Even though that's a repetition, isn't it? Freely what? So I want to use the word freely give. So grace, the verb of grace, because grace is a noun, the verb is to give freely. Okay? Now, God gives freely, then I receive what God has given freely. So what receives what God has given freely is called faith. Okay? Someone says it's like faith holds out their hand to receive what God has to offer. Now, do you see where the element of faith comes in? Because I must believe that God is actually giving it. So I'm receiving it because I know God is giving it. And many times, because it is not visible, I must trust that God is offering it. And also, we are all here because we believe that the man 2,000 years ago died and resurrected, and we did not see him. But we believe it happened. Of course, historically, there's proof. But we were not there. So, we believe. You cannot take away faith from the gospel. And let me tell you this, by the way. We live in a knowledge age. There's a lot of information out there. People have made stuff. Faith precedes knowledge. You don't believe God because you know everything. I want to say that critically. You don't believe God because you understand and figure out everything. But when you believe, you start to figure out. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, is it? It says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand that the worlds were made by the word of God. And the things that do appear did not come from the things which... The things which appear came from the things which do not appear. So, by faith we understand. The time we believed God, even with the time I believed God, I didn't know everything, I didn't know Genesis, I didn't know what. I was compelled by a message. And by faith, I accepted that word. Then I went on a journey to start to grow and understand. Are we together? So I don't have to first figure out everything to believe God. Think about back then, how people had to believe God for different things with all their limitations. No advancement in science, no advancement in knowledge, no advancement in communication, but they believed God. People like Abraham, they believed God. They believed God. Sometimes they had no, what is it called? They had no prior example, but they believed God. Abraham had not seen any woman give birth at 90. But he had to trust God. He knew at that time that woman can't give birth. Himself, he was old. Right? So this idea sometimes that you must have to first understand everything before you rely on God. No. Sometimes faith is unqualified trust. But God has qualified for his trust. You know why? Because we can read this Bible and see what he has done. We can read this Bible and see what he says. So the advantage we have is we have something to hold on to as we believe God. Hallelujah. If you want to believe God for a child, you have Hannah. You have Sarah. You have Rachel. Amen. If you want to believe, if you say you want to believe God for marriage, you have Ruth. You may have examples, but there's a generation that just trusted Yahweh. So this God is good. I can imagine Moses goes up to the mountain and tells God, God, if it means blotting out my name from the book of life, blot out my name. But save these people. Moses is acting as a mediator already. One man is offering his life for many. That was the pattern for what will happen in the future. But God is indirectly telling Moses, so you know how to intercede. So we have a reason, we have a basis to believe God. I want to encourage you, hold on to God's word and don't let it go. You trust in God's faithfulness, that God will do what he said he will do. Let's read Abraham here and see. As it is written, verse 17, Romans 4, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God. In whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, hallelujah, and calls into beings things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it is credited to him for righteousness. You know what it is telling us here? Because this is Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. God came and told Abraham, I'm going to do this, this, and this, this. And Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. This means that faith is right in the face of God. Faith is right in the place of God. Faith is righteousness in God. Faith is right living with God. Faith is right believing with God. When you believe God, that is right living with God. That's why Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Do you understand what that means? The just are the ones who are righteous, justified, righteous. So, rightness is living by faith. Again, faith is not in your ability. Faith is not on your track record. Faith is not based on your goodness. Faith is not based on your faithfulness. Faith is based on God's faithfulness. Faith is in God's word. Faith is on God's credibility. Hallelujah. So that means that I'm not supposed to be there and I try to multiply my faith. I'm just supposed to increase my persuasion. Like, oh God, what he says he can. You understand the difference? In other words, if you want to be strong in faith, if you want to be strong in faith, overwhelm yourself with what God has done and what God can do. When you do that, you will trust strongly what God will do. And what I'm talking about is when you are in the midst of circumstances that seem opposite, you can always stand and trust that God will do what he says he will do. But do you know why we doubt? Because we are not overwhelmed. We are not filled. For instance, this world sells us fear, trouble, greed, selfishness. So if you meditate on that a lot, that is going to be your predominant default. Oh, where is this country going? We are finished, you know. That is what you're surrounding yourself with. And then when you reach a moment of crisis, not even crisis, a moment where you're shaking like this, that's what is going to come out. But imagine you feed yourself with the word of God. You say, even when Jonah was in the belly of a whale, he called out to God, and God had him. You will remain strong in faith. Now, the interesting thing about the story of Abraham is this. God gave Abraham a supernatural ministry. What I mean, what he was telling Abraham to do was beyond having a child, right? And that's what Abraham believed. But it also tells us that on the basis of that, Abraham also trusted God with the natural affairs. You know, God told Abraham, I'll bless you, make a great nation. That was spiritual, Genesis 12. But Abraham took his family, he left his house, he left his community, and just trusted God. And went to a place called Ushon. He trusted God for provision, he trusted God for sustenance, he trusted God that he would keep him. And when he went to battle to rescue his nephew, what's his name? The nephew's name? Lot. He also trusted God that he would deliver him. He had 318 men. And went to fight against four kings. That is faith, isn't it? I mean, that's faith. 318 verse 4 kingdoms. I think you are outnumbered. But that is a man lived by faith. So in Hebrews chapter 11, they list to us all these people who, because of the faith they had in God, they were able to obtain all those different things. You know, I don't know where you are. If you need to believe God for healing, you have something to hold on to. And what I mean by something to hold on to, it means I'm actually trusting God's word. That God says, I am the one that healeth thee. I can stand on that. If I'm looking for examples, I can see examples. In the wilderness, when they were beaten by serpents, he healed them. They stayed in the desert. They did not die. Jesus healed many sick people. I can actually just go and I just start reading story after story of Jesus healing the sick, and I can stand on that. If it's provision, I can stand on that. Jesus sent out his disciples. When they came back, he said, when I sent you out with nothing, did you lack? So I can say, God, why do you send me out? I trust you. I trust that you provide for me. Okay? If it's a business I'm doing, was it Peter and Andrew? Who was it? They had tried to catch fish the whole day, nothing happened. Jesus came in and they were able to catch fish. Like I said, God, I trust you with the works of my hands. This week, bring multiplication. I trust you, supply. Open doors for customers. Bring me more clients. Bring me more customers. I do it and I believe. Do you know businessmen have faith? I mean, non-believing businessmen who are not. They believe they're going to make it. If you read those books, one of the elements you find there is faith. Athletes, sportsmen, they believe it. That's why sometimes they stand up and say, I'm the best. I'm going to beat this person. You know, you have to believe it. I mean, if you step in a boxing ring and you're already saying, I don't know. You're already defeated. But instead you say, I'm going to kill you. And they are beaten. And they don't stop. Hallelujah. They continue trusting God. I want you as a Christian, as a believer also, you don't stop believing God. Don't stop trusting God. Don't stop relying on Him. Don't stop having faith in God. This week, let us be bold. Let us be positive, especially if there are things which God has spoken to us. Until we see them, let's not settle. Not settling does not mean we are conniving, lying. No. Don't settle means I remain holding on to it. I remain trusting God. I remain hoping in God. I remain believing in God. Because I know my God is well able. Is well able. We all need to trust God. I need to trust God. We need to have faith. In the world that paints fear, doubt, we need to stand. And in fact, you need to protect your believing. If there are things that quench your faith, avoid them. Be in areas which will challenge your faith, which will, you know, cause you to believe God more and more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we're going to stand up and pray in a minute this week. And I want to pray for you as well. Before we close. And we're going to tell God that, no, we're not, we may not even, some things you may not be telling God. You may be telling the things. Because sometimes faith operates like that. Speak to the mountain. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that the things which you say shall come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. Okay? Just stand up on your feet right now and begin to open your mouth. I want to pray over you as well. Let's just humble ourselves, just begin to pray. Focus on those things. If we are believing for loved ones to be healed, if there are CVs we have put somewhere, we are hoping for, you know, work and all those things, let's just pray. Father, I pray for every single person here, oh Lord, born of faith, brought into the household of faith. I pray first of all for their faith, that it is energized, energized. Come on, lift up your voice. It's energized. They are strengthened, oh God. Nothing wavering, but always loving, and trusting the Lord and keeping bold in wait for the Lord in the name of Jesus, knowing very well that God is able to do exactly that which He promised to do. And God, that every single word that you have spoken shall come to pass. I pray that sick bodies be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that oppressed minds be released in the name of Jesus. I pray that sick family members be healed right now, even as we pray. I ask that financial needs and bills that need to be paid are met in the name of Jesus. Expectations are met financially in the name of Jesus. I pray that works, ministries, families be reconciled, that relationships be reconciled, that lives be reconciled, that hearts be reconciled, that spirits and bodies be kept, be kept, be kept wholesome. Be kept holy. Father, I pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you will mantle every single person. Eyes of understanding open to see you, to see you, to know you in all truth, in all liberty, in all light, in all understanding, in all graciousness, oh God. God, I pray that you'll answer the questions we are having. You continue to bring us into light. You continue to bring us into understanding. You continue to renew our minds to know you, to grow in you, to see you in the light of your word. From today and continuing on onwards, we will see you. We will know you. We will trust you. We will stand in you. We will believe you. We will walk with you every single day of our life.